The morning sermon today would be talking to myself. Talking to myself. It'll be coming from Luke, the 12th chapter, 19 through 21. That's Luke 12, 19 through 21. And it reads, I will say to my soul, so you have many good laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So he said, he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. May God add a blessing to the believers and the doers of his word.
This is of God, my Savior, standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises.
Standing on the promises of
God, my Savior. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises, I am standing on the promises of God.
Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say good morning. I'm glad you can join us today as we break the bread of life. Shortly, I'm going to open my Bible to Luke chapter 12, and my invitation is for you to join me there in Luke chapter 12. As we look at the verses for the day's lesson, most of the lesson will be taken from Luke chapter 12. Now, whether you are visiting with us today or a member of this Franklin family, or you are a virtual guest visiting us on live stream, I'm grateful that you are here today. I'm grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those that will be the saints of God. Again, good morning to you. Talking to myself. You know, the past often makes a point about where you've been, and it also makes a point about where you're going. I want you to see if you can identify with this. As I was growing up in an age where phone technology wasn't as advanced as it is today, it was very strange to see someone just walking and talking to themselves. It was a strange thing. In fact, I don't think mental health intervention was not as advanced either at that time. But most often than not, people who talk to themselves were classified as weird, and they were often called fools. Look at that old fool over there just talking to himself. So as a way to have a sensitive mechanism, the old adage became, it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't answer yourself. So for the longest time, people have been talking to themselves. I don't know what their answers have been, but they were classified as fools in my day and age, amen? We should often and always be very careful about what we ask for, and we should be careful about what we want for our future. The lesson in Luke chapter 12 shows that very clearly. It's a passage of scripture that we're going to begin this morning in verse number 13. I'd like to invite you to start reading with me in verse number 13 of Luke chapter 12. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, Who made me a judge and arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, we've seen Jesus speak a lot of parables in the Bible, some 38. And more well-known are some parables than others. But this one is typically a well-known parable. It's a story, you see, that's very easy to see the flaw in the main character, but at times not so easy to see that same flaw in ourselves. The springboard for this story is in verse number 13, where the Bible says, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. This man is obviously in a family dispute over inheritance and about money. The odd thing is that Jesus has not said anything about finances or inheritance at all. So what this man did was he took liberty upon himself to interrupt Jesus and talk about his personal issue only, nothing else. We often let our own personal issues sometimes get in the way of our things when it comes to pleasing God. We often let our personal issues interfere with listening to what we should be listening to. We let our personal issues interfere with us listening to our parents. We allow our personal issues to interfere with us listening to our spouses. And most times we let our personal issues interfere with listening to God as well. We fail to listen to God because of our own personal issues. But Jesus doesn't, you see, solve this problem at all in this parable. But he uses his request to talk about a focus on our very lives. He uses his request to talk about the priority for our life and life in the future. And in this story, we find a lot of good things are said about this farmer, but we usually never talk about that in this parable. We talk about something totally different, but there are a lot of good things that we see about this farmer. He was a skilled man in his craft. He wasn't lazy. He planned for the future, and he was a very prosperous man. There's no hint of dishonesty in this farmer. He doesn't fix his prices. He doesn't steal. And he doesn't use his influence to get his children in some other school of prestige. Amen. But I don't think that he thought very much about God at all. And he never acknowledges his connection with God as a farmer. I mean, after all, isn't it God who created the soil? After all, isn't it God who controls the sun and the rain? Isn't it God who puts life in a seed? But this man doesn't even include God. He doesn't even think about God. But I want you to notice one thing very carefully about this scripture. Even though this man doesn't think about God, he doesn't include God. God is thinking about him. He's thinking about him. So in the aftermath of a profitable season, a bumper crop for this farmer, he decides to take his ease. He had been working hard for most of his life, and this one crop came along and changed the very outlook of his life going forward. So what is he going to do? So now he's going to tear down barns and build greater ones. But I want you to know that nothing is wrong with that. In fact, we've all done that. As time goes on and life gets better for us, we tear down barns and we build greater barns. We have a car that's not working so good, so we get ourselves another car. We have clothes that seem to went out of style, so we buy ourselves other clothes. We have houses that sometimes we say we outgrow, so we find ourselves other houses or whatever it may be. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with building bigger barns. The issue here isn't barns at all. The issue here is a foolish heart, not inclined to listen to God. And so the conclusion is, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. I want you to understand that there is nothing wrong with prospering. The ecclesiastical writer says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. In the day that you find yourselves prosperous, you just be joyful. But the key verse in this scripture is that little small conjunction, that word and. And he was prosperous. And he never considered God in anything. Even though he knew God existed, he never sat down to consider listening to God because he was too busy listening to himself. He was not rich towards God. Verse 20 is incredible to me. Verse 20 says these words. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Not this year, not this month, not this week, but this very night your soul is required of you. Have you ever thought about what it is that God has called us to? I mean, here you have a man who thought that time was certain and secure, and it was not. He thought it was a time to sit back and relax, and it was not. He thought he had years and years ahead of him, but he just simply did not. Rather, he found himself awake and in eternity. And for the first time, he wasn't in charge. In fact, he wasn't in control of anything. There was no time for change. There was no time to make amends. There was no time to get his affairs in order or to settle his estate. You see, he planned on living. He didn't plan on dying at all. He planned on living and never, ever thought about dying. And so there was nothing left in his account with God. He was spiritually bankrupt. God never crossed his mind, never was included in his plans. God didn't even affect his life. And even though he was aware of God's existence, he never gave God a place in his heart. But after this man spoke to himself, God referred to him with one of the strongest words of spiritual indictment that's known to us. A strong word. God called him a fool. A fool. If somebody calls you a fool, that's fighting words, amen? God called him a flat-out fool. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God called him a fool because he was one. He was a fool. He was living his life as though God didn't exist. He was living as a fool, as though his future was under his own control. He was a fool because he was always talking to himself and never talking to God. This is what he says to himself in verse number 19. So, he says, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Look, we've talked to ourselves on countless occasions. But my question this morning is, have you ever talked to your soul? Have you ever said, I'm going to have a conversation with my soul? I think that we would all do well to engage in that form, from time to time. Just have a conversation with our souls. Listen, about our souls. Because we have conversations about everything else, and I don't know how much we consider our souls, but I would venture to say we never sit and talk about our souls to ourselves at all. We just never do it. We don't. But we need to sit down and have a conversation with our soul about our souls. An honest, no-holds-barred talk with ourselves. And when we do, what is it that we should understand from this spiritual sit-down? I got a couple things I think that we should understand when we're talking to our souls. The first thing this story tells us when we speak into our souls is that we ought to understand that life is more than possessions. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. In verses 22 and 23, as he explains the parable to the disciples, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or nor about your body, what you're going to put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. He says that our inner man is more valuable than our outer man. He says our inner man is more important than our outside. He says that our inner man is more important than our flesh. He says that character is more important than accolades, and God is more important than anything. Who are you talking to? And the question that is raised in my mind, and that you see in the scriptures, is when the farmer died, what did all the success gain for him? What did it gain? The issue is, did he know God? And clearly he did not. We would all do well to have a conversation with our soul about that. Listen, if you have a good education, that's great. You need to have a conversation about that. And just like the farmer, I know you've worked hard for that education. But do you know God? Do you know him? You've had all the latest electronics. You've probably got the newest cell phone in your pocket right now. Probably got a 70-inch TV plastered on your wall. And that's wonderful. But do you know God? You've traveled around the world, and you're steeped in culture, and you're steeped in all the arts. And that's all good, but do you know God? You've got a brand new car. You paid off your mortgage. You've great friends, and you've got a great future. Life does not exist in the abundance of man's possessions. Do you know God? Could it be sometimes that we're all just like this farmer? That we survey the landscape of our lives, and we sort of feel that we have everything under control, until one day we open our eyes to the reality that we're not in control, and that the Almighty God is in control of everything. Everything in this world is mine. He says that the sheep upon the thousand hills are mine. The cattle, all that, it's mine. And the little stuff that we think we have, that we hoard, we keep it to ourselves, and we make plans about our future, not knowing God is our reality. And my dad used to say all the time, he says, you know, nothing gets old except clothing. Well, I've come to realize that I'm an old man now. And so is my clothing. Sometimes we need to understand that we are just like this farmer and open up our eyes to the reality that we are not in control of anything. God is in control. We need to remind ourselves that life is more than possessions. And the one thing that we do possess, which is of real importance, which is vital to each and every one of us, is our soul. And whether you realize it or not, you have a soul. Whether you want one or not, you have a soul. God made our souls in his own image. And our bodies and our souls are so intertwined that you can't separate them. You cannot separate who you are from your soul. You just can't get up in the morning and leave your soul in the bed. Your behavior affects your soul, and that soul, if properly guided by God, should affect your life as you stand before him. And that soul will live on after your physical body has expired. If tonight your soul is required of you, your soul is going to live on. There's no expiration when it comes to your soul. But clothes get old, that car is going to get old, that house is going to get old, your body is going to get old. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things, the small things that he thinks he possesses. Everything is mine. Oh, I've got more than you. You've got more than me. I've got to get more. Your eyes are just like they used to say, too big for your... Amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7 says these words. The dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Listen, there's no going back. There's no rewind. There's no do-over. There's no second chance. The Ecclesiastical writer also says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Where we are going, there's nothing in the grave. Nothing. So we've got to pay attention to and have a conversation with our souls now. We've got to do that right now so as to ensure a productive spiritual life before God. This story reminds us that we all need to take time to recharge. We all need to take time to realign our priorities, to realign our connections with our families, and remember that we have a soul that is made in the image of the Almighty God. We need to take time to just remember that. But we also must remember that every soul is accountable to God, every one of us. And that's whether we want it to be or not. There's no opting out of accountability to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We all have to stand and give an account before God. Romans 14:12. "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Our ultimate accountability is not to our possessions. Our ultimate accountability is to God. The soul will continue to live on, and it will be accountable for God today and tomorrow and the next day and throughout all eternity. The soul will be accountable to God. Another interesting question I find in the heart of the story from verse 20 is this. "But God said to him, 'Fool, fool, then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" Here's a man who's absolutely consumed with acquiring things in this life. Listen, we possess a lot of things here in America. We really do. We have a wonderful life, and we ought to thank God for that. But perspective asks the question, who will own what you have prepared? Who's going to own it? As soon as you retire or die, don't you know somebody else is going to fill that job? As soon as you die, someone else is going to drive the car that you're driving. As soon as you die, someone is going to, they're going to own a house that you work all your life for. As soon as you die, someone's going to be wearing the same clothes that you're wearing right now. Your possessions will be fought over and scattered all over your family. And what they don't want is going to become trash. They're going to put it to the side of the road. But God says, work hard and prosper. Enjoy the things that you have, but keep it all in perspective. 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing to this world," amen, "and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Nothing out. We came with absolutely nothing, and we will leave with absolutely nothing. There's only one single thing that you're going to leave this world with, and that is your soul. So it really matters whether or not we are rich towards God. Here's a question for you. What would happen right now if your soul was required of you? You see, this man was not expecting that this would be his last day of life and that he would be accountable to God this very night. He wasn't expecting that. If your soul was required today, it would mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. Some of you who are in college right now wouldn't graduate from school. Those of you who are engaged right now would never marry. Those of you who have worked 30 years and you're looking towards retirement, you will never, ever retire. For some, there will be a lot of unfinished projects, a lot of honeydews that you never got to. Some people who read books, some books will never be read. Pursued goals will never be achieved. If your soul is required today, that "I love you," which was intended for somebody that you should have said, will never be spoken. So you better get it out right now because you never know, amen? If this day your soul is required of you, what would God comment about you? What would he say? The Bible says that he might say one of two things. In this story, he looked at a man speaking to himself and he said, "You are a fool. You have lived life without allowing it into your plans or even into your heart." And the second thing that he can say is in Matthew 25, "Well done. You are a good and faithful servant." So what would it be for your life? What would he say if right now your soul is required of you? Have you been putting off for the future what you should be doing today? Do you have something hidden that needs to be brought to the surface? Something you need to come clean with God about? What is it that you have that you just can't seem to come to grips with? Is there somebody you need to forgive that you stubbornly have not forgiven? If your soul is required tonight, What would God think about you? In this story, you find, as I said earlier, that this man didn't think about God at all. But I want you to understand one thing. God thought about him. And he thought about him just as he thinks about us as well. So what's it going to be? Is it going to be your possessions or is it going to be God? Here's a second scenario for you. What if your life wasn't required of you tonight? What if it wasn't? How would your conversation with yourself change in regard to that? It shouldn't matter if you live another 60 minutes or another 60 years. What's important is that we not make the same mistake as the farmer did in this parable. God wants us to enjoy our lives, but make sure that we are rich towards him. For there's not one of us in this room today who doesn't realize how much we need God. And I believe that's why we are here. We all need God. Oh, we need him in our homes. We all need God. Oh, we need him in our plans. We all need God. We need God in our hearts, and we need him in our hearts to change our conversation concerning eternal life. Something we don't talk too much about. We consider it, but we don't talk to ourselves about our soul and the future of our souls. We need God to change our conversation concerning our eternal life. Luke 6:45 says these words, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." What is abundant in your heart? Are you a fool? Or are you rich towards God? Have you considered your soul? Or are you too busy with your possessions and not considering God from the abundance of the heart? What are you talking about? The mouth will speak. Alice Walker, in The Color Purple. She had a character sing a song, and it said, "Speak, Lord." You remember that? Speak to me. Because you've got something for me to do, Lord. I know you're trying to tell me something. So, Lord, just speak to me. We got to stop talking to ourselves. And we need to start talking. What are you saying to yourself as it pertains to the saving of your soul? You see, the issue in this parable is about a foolish heart speaking to the detriment of his soul. I grew up in the 60s. I got to tell you that. And growing up in an age where phone technology wasn't as advanced as it is today, it was very strange to see someone just talking to themselves. I got to tell you, it's still strange to me today. Whether they answer themselves or not. Amen. It's a strange thing, at least to me. We need to stop talking to ourselves like a fool would do. We need to talk to God today. We need to remember God today. We need to walk with God today because we might not have a tomorrow. And it's so good to have a conversation with our souls from time to time. Even more than that, it's better. Even more better, we need to have a conversation with our God. The question again remains, who are you talking to? Stop talking to yourself and stop answering yourself. Let's start talking to God. Let's get the answers from him. You don't have the answer. You're not in control of anything. No matter how much money you have, no matter how pretty you are, no matter how many houses you have, no matter what. Here's one last scripture for you. In Matthew chapter 16, we find Jesus coming into the area of Caesarea Philippi. And he speaks to the disciples concerning whom do men say that he the Son of God is. And they say, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, one of the prophets. Whom do you say that I am? And he says, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's going to build his church. No other church, but the church that belongs to Christ. He's going to build it right there. You go a few scriptures down, and you see Peter says, "Forbid it not, Lord." And God looks at Peter, and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. For you don't have anything of God in your heart at all. It's all about man. And that's what the world has today. When it comes to God's church, they have nothing in their heart about God at all. They're talking to themselves, and it's all about them. And then he says, in the same chapter, in verse number 26, he says, what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? You with me? Who do you say that I am? I'm going to build my church. No, Lord, we don't want to talk about that. Forbid it to be so, Lord. Get behind me, Satan. For what profit a man if he does all his talking? He's talking to himself about things that doesn't even belong to him, and he'll steal to get something from somebody else. What profits a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you giving up? I'm telling you that words are not enough. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Listen, he's not finished. For Jesus, our Savior, he's going to come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. What will your reward be? Came into this world with nothing, and I'm going to leave with nothing but my soul, Lord. Why don't you just give your soul to God so when you die, when your life is required, you'll have something to talk about? Amen. And you can talk about it with God, because all the talking on this side of the living is going to be all over. I grew up in a time when we'd call people old fools for talking to themselves. I got to tell you right now, if we're not talking to our soul about our soul and about the future of our souls in heaven with Christ, we are relegated to nothing more than a fool. Call it what you want, but that's what God said. That was his words. It's not mine. Far be it for me to call anybody a fool, because I'm in the same boat that you're in. Amen? You remember that as a child? It takes one to what? To know one. Amen? I'm asking you today to understand that character before God is more important than accolades, and your soul is more important than your possessions. So today, the invitation is for you to hear God's word. In John chapter 6 and verse number 45, it says, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that had heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. He doesn't just stay to himself and relax and take his ease. When you hear the Father, you come running to the Father, because we all need God. Why not come and get him? He's not far from us. He's not hiding. As a matter of fact, he's thinking about us when we're not thinking about him. Hear him this morning. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. Believe that. It says in John 8, 24, I tell you truly, if you believe that I'm not he, you will die in your sins. You're going to die. The devil took Jesus up to a high mountain, didn't he? And he showed him all the things in the world, all the possessions in the world. And Jesus says, listen to me, man shall not live by bread alone. Amen? It isn't about the possessions or the things that I have. We can't live by that alone. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why? Because those words that come from the mouth of God come from the heart of God. Just like your words come from your heart, and they ought to be, speak to me, Lord. It ought to be, Lord, I surrender to you, Lord. It ought not be, well, I've got everything I need in this life. I'm going to take my ease. You know what's going to happen? You're going to lay down, and you're going to die. And that's it, period. It's all over. It's over. So hear God's word and believe that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sins. We've got too many idols in our lives, things that we possess in abundance. And they have absolutely nothing to do with God. Repent. Paul said the Areopagus that we live and breathe and have our being in Christ, in God. He said man had all these idols and they are nothing when it comes to God. I'm going to show you the God that you think you're serving that you don't know nothing about. He said in times past, God winked at that, but now he commands men everywhere to repent of their sins. Repent. We got to confess Christ. Jesus says, let me tell you something. If you confess me before men on earth, I'm going to confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Talk about me right now. If you're going to have a conversation with yourself, talk to yourself about the Christ. Amen. If you're going to have a conversation with somebody else, talk to somebody else about the Christ. What's in your heart is what's going to come off of your lips. Let God be in our hearts. Give him a place in our hearts so he can come out of our mouths. Are we going to leave him? We're going to start talking about how my windshield wipers isn't working in my car, and I might need a new one. Just because of windshield wipers. You can go to AutoZone and get some new wipers. Amen. Oh, but I got to get me a new car because these wipers, you can't get a new soul, church. Amen. There's a lot of things that's not working for your soul right now, and you know it. You know it. So you need to hear God's word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and you need to be baptized in water for remission of your sins. You want to get something that's new? Get in that water, a grave of baptism, and allow your very life to be transformed by God. To be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and following. Be baptized into Christ and to put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. To be baptized into Christ, Acts 22, 16, as Saul told, Ananias told Saul, and getting to her to do it. To be baptized into Christ, as Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, no, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about the Christ. Too many of us talk about ourselves and we don't talk about the Christ. Somebody needs to come along and help us understand that so we might be baptized into Christ. This is your invitation today. There are too many fools out there in the world. We don't need to be one. Amen. We don't need to be one. We need to take the high road when it comes to God and our salvation. Why? Because the low road is too crowded. What are you going to do? Will you respond today to God's invitation and be found in Christ, buried him in baptism, placing your soul in a position where eternity with God could be your home? If we can help you today, why don't you come as we stand and sing an invitation song.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and did my surrender. Would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, and it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am.
Good morning, church. I'll be reading from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. Now it was the feast of the dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." We're at a part of our worship service, which is the Lord's Supper, in which we're instructed to come together on the first day of the week in remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll also be reading from Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 26. And the Bible reads, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Let us pray. Father God, we come to you at this time with bowed heads and humble hearts. Father God, just in a thankful mindset, Father God, to be able to commune with you. Father God, we ask you to bless this bread that represents your Son's body. And we ask that you'll bless this cup that represents your Son's shed blood. Father God, we just pray and ask that everyone that partake of this would do in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're also at a part of our service, which is collection, in which we're instructed to give back just a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with. You have the opportunity before service or immediately after service to bring, to come and put your collection into the box. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, "Now concerning a collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come." I'll also be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. And the Bible reads, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Let us pray. Father God, we come to you once again with bowed heads, Father God, and humble hearts. Father God, just thankful for the collection that was gathered in your name. Father God, we're thankful for those who gave, Father God, and we're thankful for those who had a desire to give, Father God, but not able at this present time. Father God, we just pray next to these funds be used for the the outreach of your ministries, Father God. We pray that you'll be with the men handling these funds, that the things they do and say will be pleasing and acceptable in our sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.